In Jesus the Christ, dear fellow redeemed, God's grace, mercy, and peace are yours through Jesus the Savior. Amen. In the middle of September, my green card expired. Don't worry, I still have permission to work here, but if I were to leave the country, it would be difficult, probably impossible for me to get back. So you may be wondering, well, why'd you let it expire? It wasn't just procrastination. For the last 2 years, maybe longer, I have had this thought, I'm not going to renew my green card, I'm going to apply for citizenship in the United States. Now, citizenship is intimately connected with one's identity. If you were to ask me, who am I? I'm an Australian. If I were to get U.S. citizenship, I would have to say, I'm an American. And then the question is, because I can have dual citizenship, am I an Australian-American or an American-Australian? So it's not just procrastination, but a real struggle with who I am and how I look at myself and perceive myself. Who are you? And before you really answer that question, listen to the words of our text this morning. I've added a couple of verses, and I'm reading from a slightly different translation than what's in your printout there. So Philippians chapter 3, 17 through 21. Brothers, join together in imitating me and in paying attention to those who walk according to the pattern we gave you. To be sure, many walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. I told you about them often, and now I am saying it while weeping. Their end is destruction. Their God is their appetite, and their glory is in their shame. They are thinking only about earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we are eagerly waiting for a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power that enables Him to subject all things to Himself, He will transform our humble bodies to be like His glorious body. So who are you? If you are a Christian, if you believe that Jesus lived, died, and rose again for you, and that through Him your sins are forgiven, then Paul tells you that you're a dual citizen, that you have a citizenship in heaven. This week, the theme for the readings is that God's saints live in two kingdoms. And I think this text really brings that out. That we have an earthly kingdom, an earthly citizenship. Excuse me, I'm really pointing up, but I'm thinking of the heavenly. Okay, a heavenly citizenship and a heavenly kingdom. And yet here we are on earth. We have an earthly citizenship. So we're in two kingdoms. And that can have a much deeper and profound tug of war within the person, within the Christian, than whether you're wrestling, whether you're Australian or American. Because it truly cuts at who we are, our identity. It is intimate to how you see yourself. We have a heavenly citizenship by faith. But Paul has a warning in our text for us and for those that oppose Christ and his church. And maybe this is speaking purely to that earthly citizenship that we all possess, that it can distract us and fill us with things that lead to destruction. When I was a child, I remember seeing ads on TV by World Vision. If you're not familiar with it, World Vision would try to fight world hunger. And on all of these ads, there would be starving children. And one day I said to my dad, "Why are their tummies so full?" And if you see truly starving children, their tummy is bloated, their stomach is bloated. As a child, I thought, well, their tummy is full. How can they be hungry? And they may have had food in their stomach, but their tummy was bloated because of malnutrition. Even though they may have been eating something, they were actually starving to death. And Paul in our text warns us about living according to our stomach. And in some ways, that's like our basest, our lowest ways of operating. So filling ourselves with things as if our citizenship is only here. Eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And this is a temptation, whether you're cognizant of it or not, that you face and every Christian faces. Because there are things in this life that make us feel good, that make us feel full. But in the end, they're just like the stomachs of those starving kids. They lead to death. Now, I can't tell you what you're trying to fill yourself with or what you're tempted to fill yourself with. Paul simply summarizes it as setting your mind on earthly things. So, yeah, that could be food. It could be sex. It could be your reputation with others. But it also could be your religious activity. As if you think that coming to chapel makes you better than other people. And you think that God smiles on you because you don't participate in incorrect sexual activity. We can fill ourselves up with pride and think that that is the basis of our relationship with God. Any thought that good works play a role in justifying you before God, making you right with Him, that's going to lead to destruction. There is only one good thing to fill our bellies on. Jesus said in John chapter 6, "My body is real food, and my blood is real drink." He was there speaking of eating Him and drinking Him by faith, doing the work that God requires, to believe in the one He has sent. Jesus came down from heaven, became a citizen of this earth, so that He could give you a citizenship in heaven. And that citizenship that He offers you today came at a great price because he had to live as an earthly citizen perfectly, fulfilling all of God's law, loving God with a perfect heart and loving his neighbor with a perfect heart. And then he had to die. He had to give his very flesh into death and pour out his very blood in payment for your sins, to take away all the times you've fed yourself on what this earth offers instead of on him. But he loves you so much that he would have paid anything and everything so that you could be with him in heaven. And he did. And when God raised him from the dead, that was God's stamp of approval on your citizenship in heaven. It was God declaring to you that your sins really are forgiven. And now you can feast on Christ and know that you will not go into destruction, but will live with him forever. So who are you? By faith, you're a Christian. You're a citizen of heaven. Let us then keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and all that he has done, so that one day we can leave this world and be with him forever. God grant it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand for the blessing. And now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and humbly confess that the things of this world often distract us from what is important. And when we taste of them, often we enjoy their delights. We pray that you would forgive us. Forgive us for all the times we have lost sight of who we really are and where we are going. We pray that you continue to pour out your Spirit upon us through word and sacrament. Fill us with the good things that we may be strengthened in faith and guided in the way that we live. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you and our heavenly home. To these ends, bless us for Jesus' sake. Amen.